this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about why live in-person auditions are a thing of the past, and some tips on how to make the most out of your self-tapes. I'll explain. The pandemic changed auditions forever. By accident, really. I don't think that was the plan. I don't think anyone thought that that's what would happen. But you know, when the pandemic hit, the industry was in a pickle. They still needed to figure out how to make product, how to get through it. They needed to figure out how can we now cast shows without having the actors come in person. Well, of course, the obvious thing was, well, we just have everyone do self-tapes. I mean, they've been doing it to some degree before, but, you know, coming in live was still the way we did it. Obviously, they couldn't do that anymore, so we leaned heavily and only on self-taping. And it worked out great. It worked out really well. I mean, it was essentially a portion of the way everyone did things anyway. Now it was just completely. The only thing that was missing was the live audition. That was cut out of the deal. Couldn't do it. It was impossible. Everyone had to stop. Everyone had to not rely on that anymore. And what they discovered was this worked way better. It made such perfect sense. It made too much sense. And suddenly, all the casting directors, everyone that puts auditions together, thought, we can save so much money and time. We don't have to rent offices and staff it with help and have sign-in sheets and questions and answers and where's the water, the coffee, the bathroom? Well, we got to rent the place. Then they got to have the camera guy. They get this guy, that guy, this gal, that gal. You know, come on. But let me tell you the greatest part. Looking at it from the producer's side, because personally, as an actor, I loved going in live. I loved it. I always felt I did my best, particularly if the most important people concerned with the project were in the room. That for me, was always the best. That electricity, you know, that need to, you know, get your act together right now, I thrived on that. But when the pandemic hit, and we had to go to this, and we actually had to stop what we were doing and do it a different way. Boy, oh boy, did they quickly discover how actually streamlined this really is. Because you see, the worst part of working live as the casting director, as the, you know, directors, producers, the people that are watching the talent come in, is this thing where more frequently than you can imagine, when the person walks in, we kind of know. You know, you kind of have an idea of what you're looking for, and generally the person walks in, and you kind of go, oh. And then the next part is they start acting. They start talking. You hear their voice, the way they communicate, how they look, and you're getting these instant feelings. Gosh, I think, you know, one page in, you know, watching the actor 1 minute, you would have a pretty darn good idea whether or not there was a possibility for a callback, whether or not this person could possibly be that person. A minute, man. So what's my point? Well, this whole electronic, just you do the taping and you send it to us thing works out great, because in the past, if you were really, really super efficient, and you ran a real tight ship, and you really were like a machine, and you treated everyone just right, and got them in, got them out, you could do about one person every 5 minutes. You could. But man, you had to be slick. You had to talk just enough, get the pleasantries out of the way, never be rude, give them enough time, do it once, twice. They ask a question, you answer it, you thank them so much, they leave, you run a tight ship, you could do one every 5 minutes. And that's cranking, man. And that's like really, really focusing as the auditioners. That's 12 in an hour. A lot of parts and stuff, you know. even going that fast and being that efficient, which is rare if they are, but I always prided ourselves on trying to do that exact thing because, of course, I'm also an actor and I know how it feels. You want to get the best out of people, so you treat them with respect. You stay on time, you know. If you're 5 minutes late, you apologize. You know, you treat people with respect. You get the best out of them. But you see, with electronically now, well, I can sit here in my underwear and just flip through the stuff and you can start to talk. And if I'm interested, I'll start to watch. And if I'm not, I'll push a little button and I'll move on to the next one. It's so easy and it's so quick. It's lightning quick. Well, as fast as your finger is. So look how efficient that is. It's incredible. Is it mean? No. Why is it mean? Listen, you also save gas, not having to go, parking, not having to park, having to put up with all those other actors in there, take time out of your day, do this, do that at this exact time, do this. You got this self-tape. You know, it's beneficial for the actor as well. Now you can live anywhere, kind of. And put yourself on tape, be anywhere, get the gig, you're on the next flight. I mean, you know, there's a lot of upside. There's only one downside as I see it. And it's a good one. And here it is. I've been noticing this happening lately, and it's got to really stop. Someone needs to talk to these casting offices. For those of you that get larger auditions, have you ever noticed how they'll sometimes now have you do like 3, 4, 5 scenes? I mean, I've had people come to, you know, the private coaching for the audition with me, and they'd have 15 pages of dialogue. Now, I'm sure some of you out there go, oh, God, I'd, you know, give my eyeball to have 15 pages of dialogue because you're not there. You're not at that point yet. Well, you know, listen, you'll know, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you get there, and hopefully it'll happen soon. But, and listen, these people aren't stars. These are just people that might be considered for something. But my bigger point is, my large point is, you see, now they can do something with actors they were never allowed to do before. And that is give them 15 pages of dialogue, and here's why. No one wants you to come in with 15 pages of dialogue, and after one page we know we don't want to hire you, nothing personal, but you're just dead wrong for it, so let's not waste any time. But you know what happens? We have to let you do it. Why? Well, we told you to prepare it, and it really takes a really mean, mean, tough casting director who can actually say, oh, that's enough. I mean, maybe that happens on Broadway, but in television, most people, they don't want to do that. The best they'll do is say, oh, did you not hear? We're actually only doing one scene today. And they'll make it seem right in between two scenes like, you know, you didn't get the memo. And you know, you can break glass in case of emergency and pull that one out if you need to. But I know that when I was running a casting office for my own show and for my theater, you know, I was very strict about the rules that we had about time, you know, what we, you know, took from people and always trying to get the best because, you know, if you treat them with respect and, you know, you don't burden them with a lot of nonsense. Most actors, I know then, I feel like, well, listen, I gave you the best, the most favorable wins I could. This is what you did. That's how good you are. Not, you know, trying to do everything you can to dissuade actors from wanting to work for you and then watch their work and say, well, you know, if you were tough, you could be better. Yeah, I don't know. Not all great actors are tough. That's the problem. Some actors have so much self-respect, as soon as something goes wrong, they go, you know what, piss off. I'd rather go and, you know, plant potatoes. So I think that, you know, you do it that way, you get the best out of the actors, and if you don't, it's a cop-out, and it's just you playing the, hey, well, you know, life is tough, you want to be an actor, you know, buck up. So the problem I have, and why I'm bringing all this up, is that I think it's dead wrong for these people to give you those 15 pages, and they do it because they're lazy. I know, when I used to try and figure out what scene to give the actor, it's tricky. And stop to think about it. You want to try and get it down to, what, 1, 2, 3 pages, a scene? You want to give them the crux scene, the scene that if you do that scene and I see you do it, I'll know if I have the right character or not. I don't want to necessarily give you the benign scene unless you're a benign character the entire time. I want to give you the scene where, you know, the rubber meets the road, where I'm going to see just, you know, what kind of chops you got. So you try and find this scene. You try and find one where it's back and forth dialogue and that character doesn't sit around and then there's 5 other people speak and then you come to that, you know. You do try, but I do also know that when you're just completely overrun with this request day and night working in television or in movies, you just want it to be over, man. You just figure, well, what scene should we give it? And now it's just give them all of them. Just give them all of them. Well, yeah, it's nothing to the person that just said that, because as I said, all they got to do is use their finger. They'll go up and just pop, pop, go fast forward. Oh, let me see the next scene. What are they doing? Well, let me go and say, okay, you know, or just right off the bat that. Meanwhile, the actor has been spending 4 days straight trying to get this down, to give it the best they can, to get all their lines down, to look crackerjack, to perhaps be dismissed within 8 seconds. Am I being a fatalist? I think I'm being reasonable, because here's what I know. They don't need 15 pages to decide whether or not you're good. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. They don't get to the 14th page and say, you know, I don't know yet. I just don't know yet. No, they know. They're already either watching and can't wait to speak to your agent, or they've hit delete and they've moved on to 7 other people in that time. At least 7. What's the solution? Well, I'll tell you. I'm just going to sit here and complain. I'm going to tell you what I've been doing. If there's 5 scenes and you get this thing and they want it like tomorrow or even the day after tomorrow, and it just seems like a lot because you also have a life, you might have kids, you have, you know, you're not just sitting around by the pool waiting for this stuff. I would say, well, if you're getting that many pages, if you get decent-sized auditions and you're at that point in your career, I'm not even saying that you're doing a lot of work, but you're getting decent-sized auditions to where you have this calamity. You ask your agent if you can have another day or two, but only do it if truly you need the time because it's just too squeezed. Don't do it because you're one of those actors that say, well, if I had 2 weeks, I'd even be better. No, you still got to be a bit of a Marine about this. We still expect you to, you know, drop the hammer and get this thing together because that's part of the impression. But not to the point that it undermines your ability to get anything done and get sleep and eat properly. I mean, there's no reason for that. That's not going to have anything to do with the job. They need it, you know, they need you to be expeditious with it. Well, then, okay, within reason. So you ask for that day. I've done that many times. And I don't know if it's ever been denied. They'll give you till the next day. They just have to come up with the time. Now, listen, sometimes things are under the gun, you know, all of a sudden somebody left, now you're a little, and there's always an exception to everything I say, but generally I found people, but only use that, only break that glass in case of emergency if truly it's too much and you've got all this other stuff that you happen to be having, you know, life get in the way. Don't do it a lot, but, you know, when you need to, do it, and don't ask for too much time. Sometimes they'll just come back and they'll tell you, we don't need it till Monday, and there you go. If you can't do that for some reason or won't do that, or would rather not do that, you want to do something else, here's what you can do. Pick 2 out of the 5 scenes that you think you could really, really shine and, you know, probably shows what they're looking for, and do those 2 scenes and put them on the tape, and then don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Because I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. They'll look at it, and if they love you, if they think, hey now, we might have the... And then it ends after 2 scenes, and they've already seen 2 scenes of you, and they like you. Oh, I promise you, they're not going to suddenly go, well, I never, and just, you know, delete. They'll think, what happened? Did we get the right thing? And they'll call your agent. They'll say, hey, well, we've got 2 scenes here. We really like her. We really like him. Did you send them all over? And they'll go through this moment. How do I know? Because I've been in that position. Of course you do that. What do you care? So you saw enough to get very excited. Let me tell you something. When you get excited about an actor for a part, when you think you might have actually found the person, when this might be one of the ones, there might be gold in them thar hills, you don't care about this stuff. Let's just figure it out and get it done. Now, if they look at your 2 scenes, get halfway through the first one, realize you're wrong, boop, it's off. That's it. That's all. That's what I do. The only time I don't do that is if I'm very familiar with a particular casting director and they've made a special request to through my agent and said, you know, I know there's a lot, but would Jeff mind doing all of it? They'd like to see him do this thing and that thing as well or something. They'll sometimes be nice. I'm older, so I guess they're nice to me for that reason. And you see, of course, I would never not. But if you don't know, you don't know who these people are, and they're just out there pressing buttons and going, yeah, do all 7 scenes. I mean, why not just do the whole piece? Hey, what scene do we get? Just get the whole thing. It's a half-hour TV show. It'll do all the scenes, and then we'll decide. I mean, you know, that's kind of what it's like. Do you understand how it's really easy to do that? They're not being hideous. They're not sitting around thinking, hey, here's what we're going to do, see? We're going to give them 5 scenes, 15 pages, give them about 36 hours to do it, right? And then we're only going to look at the first 3 lines. No, man. They got productions going on stuff. Things are pasted on bulletin boards everywhere, and people are whizzing by with papers in their hands, and they're just trying to get this thing done. And they're not really thinking about that. And if they did, they'd say, hey, isn't more better? I thought these people want to act. Let them act. Go ahead. Do all 15 pages. And we'll see. Or maybe, hey, the people that can do 15 pages are the people that get the job. You know, I know it kind of sounds cool, but that's not how it works. I'm telling you, if they like somebody, they don't care. Case in point, you're the person they like. The tape's been going for, let's say, 18 seconds. And all of a sudden it goes, and it just vanishes. And then there's just like a white light. What do you think they would do? You think they would just say, ah, darn, he looked perfect. But, yeah, we had the white light thing. No, they will go, who's his agent? Get me another tape over here. Stat. What am I saying? I'm saying we have to be reasonable and we have to stand up for ourselves without being obnoxious or arrogant. We have to make sure that if we really, really, really need extra time, we get it. And if we can't do 5 scenes brilliantly, but we feel we could really nail 2, we do those. We put our best foot forward. We do the best we can. We're not babies. But we want to be respected, given just enough time. I don't mind being in a foot race with all the other actors. I really don't. But not to, you know, the point where we injure ourselves trying to get this stuff done. And for what? All right. I know you people out there love your blue backgrounds or your little mottled silver and kind of gray backgrounds. And I know that people say, hey, do that. Definitely do that. Where's your blue background? Hey, make sure. I've even seen it on casting things. It says with a blue background, you know, and I think what's really happened is that's just become the thing. Let me tell you why I hate those blue backgrounds and those blue gray backgrounds. Let me tell you why I hate them. Because when I see them behind the actor, I think, oh, here's an actor auditioning, hoping. Now, I don't mean to make big fun of you people. I'm actually kind of teasing you to get you to just stop doing it, man. Because I'm going to give you a really good example of why. Because look, I want you to imagine seeing Harrison Ford right now, the way he looks right now. And I want you to imagine if suddenly in YouTube or something, you came upon him acting and he had a blue backdrop, that same blue backdrop behind him. Wouldn't you know immediately that this was like a joke or a gag or something was screwy? You would see that blue backdrop and you'd realize, well, what is that guy doing? You know, because that's for what? People are hoping to get jobs. Those are the people that get in front of the blue. But if you put someone like Harrison Ford, and we know he's successful because he's right now the way he looks, not as a kid, and you came across it and there was no volume, you'd think it was a, you know, there was a little funny bit. Or he was reading mean tweets or something. You know, you'd know it was a gag. Imagine that with any big-time actor. It would be weird. And so I'd ask you, well, why? Because we associate that background with people hoping to get work. And I don't mean to demean anyone at all, because I would be in that same group. I always hope to get work. Me too, for sure. I just think there's just a little bit of elegance, perhaps, in not reminding people the entire time and not feeling like you got to do what everyone else does, but doing it with class, with no distraction in the background, just simplicity. It doesn't look like you've done anything special. You didn't create the bow of a ship behind you or something. No, it's just a wall. But it's not the blue thing from Amazon. I find myself always telling actors, make sure you tighten up that eye line, meaning make sure that you put your reader as tight to where the camera is on your iPhone, which you're invariably using. As the viewer, you're not necessarily going to look into my eyes, of course, but I'm going to be able to look into yours pretty well. And so whatever you got going on, I'm going to be able to look right up the pipe and see that. And that's really, I know what I want as an auditioner. And you can imagine that. I'm sure that's probably what you would want. A lot of actors, they'll send a tape to me, and I'll find that they're looking off at an angle. Now, keep in mind, if at your iPhone where you have the camera on one side, if you have somebody hugging the iPhone but on the other side, oh, your eye line will look like it's way off. That little bit, just the width of an iPhone, and it'll look like you're looking off. Try it. Tape both and see what it looks like. I've seen tapes where the actor never, ever, they're always looking off. They're always looking off at an angle. I'm sure they probably think it's tight enough. But no, it isn't. So I'm going to give you another example of something that was going to be like a real-life situation. I want you to imagine it. You've just come out of some whatever bar, dance club, whatever, where, you know, people go and drink and have fun. And suddenly you walk outside, and right there in the parking lot, there's some standoff. Some guy is very, very upset. You're all about the same distance from this fellow, but that guy who's really, really upset is looking at somebody, and he's not really beside you or anything. He's like three or four people away. Now, in your mind's eye, I want you to look at that person screaming, very upset. I mean, this guy looks kind of lethal when he's upset. But the person that he's given a hard time to is three or four or five people away, okay? Kind of in a little circle around, all right? So they're about four or five people away from you. Now, think about how you'd feel right there. And now I want you to imagine the guy that this person is losing his mind with is right beside you. You're shoulder to shoulder. He's not looking at you. He's definitely looking at him. He's definitely upset at him. But you are looking right into this guy's face, and you're seeing what's in it, and you're right beside this guy. Do you see how you might more viscerally feel what's going on, even though the person is clearly upset at the person right beside you? A lot of the time we do these scenes, we want to have that kind of impact. And finally, props and outfits. Well, now that things have changed because of the aforementioned pandemic, I think the rules about how far you go have changed a bit, like, for instance, with props. And we know that most people are probably taping at home. Well, we know that if they're at home, they have stuff. And if stuff in your hands makes it easier for you, then great, have it. But here's just a rule of thumb. Generally, and almost always, keep all that stuff below the frame. We don't want to see it. You know, my sense is we want to be as clever as we can, use whatever we want, put on whatever outfit we want, but we can't look like we're trying too hard. You have a hint at something. You know, it's not the exact thing, but oh, that's clever. I get it. I'm more impressed with the actor who seems like they just threw on this jacket, set up the camera like that in front of the wall, and then just crushed an audition for me. And it seemed effortless. Effortless. That's the key. Use that as your standard. Whatever it is you do, you just want to make it seem like you just simply did it. What you want to focus on, what you want them to see only, really, is your brilliant acting. You don't want to draw attention to anything else. Everything else is secondary to that. You always want to make it look that way. You see, that's why making it seem effortless really helps put the spotlight on purely the scene you're acting, the important stuff. The other stuff should just support it, but do it in an effortless fashion. And so with entrances and exits, I'm not big on that. I mean, unless it's completely necessary. I'd rather you just come up from black and you're already there. When I see people do entrances and exits, it seems like, oh, now they're blocking. You're not auditioning the scene, you know, like as far as the whole thing and how it's blocked and how it works. We're just watching clips of you doing some amazing acting. So if you have to do it, but I think it's more elegant to, it looks like you're starting to leave and you fade to black. And it can look like you've just got into position as we fade up. And so, by the way, I'm a big advocate of using, you know, iMovie and putting up just a simple title of who you are, and you fade up from black into your scene and you fade out. I know most of you do that, but I've also seen a lot of people that don't. And it's just, again, it's just simply elegant. That way you can come up exactly when you want to come up, and you can go out exactly when you do. And when you don't use the fade-ins or fade-outs, I find that sometimes I see the clip and I just see the actor's face and it's kind of frozen in some weird thing before it starts, or it goes out that way. And I look at it for a second and realize, oh, they're not moving anymore. I just like the simple elegance of putting stuff together. It doesn't look overworked. It looks effortless, and it's just, you know, lights up. We see you, lights out. Bye-bye. Those there are some pointers and some things to reflect on. I hope it helps. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. I'm Jeff Seymour. If you'd like to find out more about the Real Life Actor approach, I have a book on Amazon, The Real Life Actor. Or you can go to the Real Life Actor website, reallifeactor.com. It's all there. Thanks again for listening.